to talk about the identity of the church. When I say church, it's not just church, so blessed. I'm referring to the church in general, the identity of the church. I think that this is very crucial for us as a people of God. I think this is very crucial for the body of Christ, that we know who we are in the Lord. Much has been said about the identity of believers. Recently, there's a renaissance of teachings on the identity of believers. And I believe that that is very important. Because if you don't know your identity, you don't know where you stand. Many Christians cannot wage a good fight. They cannot fight a good fight. They cannot wage a good warfare because they don't know who they are in Jesus. And I believe it goes the same also for churches. If a church does not know its identity in the Lord, there is some trouble right there. Mangangapa tayo, anong dapat natin gawin, anong purpose natin, anong direction natin. So it is very important that we find out who we are as a church. Alright? Now, just to be clear about it, we need to understand that the church is not man-made. Lagi ko sinasabi yan sa mga pastors natin that the moment that we feel that the presence of God has departed, let's call it quits. We don't want to play around. We're not here just to build an empire, just to build a kingdom. The church is not man-made. The one who built the church is Jesus Christ himself. Kaya sinabi niya, upon this rock I will build my church. So the church belongs to Jesus. And so as far as the design and the identity of the church is concerned, I would say that it must be Jesus who will give us our identity. Alright? Hindi yung inimbento lang yung church na ito. Pagka nag-imbento tayo ng church, kulto yun. It must be the call of God as far as identifying who we are as a people. So what is the church? Or a better question probably is, who is the church? Who are we? What are we? So five things that I want to share with you today, and I intend to finish all five today in Jesus' name. So it's a teaching. It's probably I'll inject some preaching here. The church is a fellowship. That's number one. The church is a fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this. These would be the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. So here is the church, and it is being described as a fellowship. Now, I love the way Rick Warren described or defined fellowship. He says, a fellowship is like two fellows in one ship. Now, if you can just imagine this, you have one little boat, you have one small boat, and you have two fellows in there. For that boat to go somewhere, the two fellows in that one boat should always be in agreement. It cannot be that the two people in that one boat will decide, I go this way, and then the other one would say, I go that way, tapos pareho sila magro-row towards different directions. It won't go anywhere. It's the same thing with the church. We are a fellowship, and if we are to go somewhere to fulfill the purposes of God, then we need to be in agreement. Who watches Sesame Street here? Or who used to watch Sesame Street here? You remember that character? Ewan ko kung that character or those characters, the two-headed monster. Huh? You remember the two-headed monster? Yung kulay niya, it's like he is violet or parang ganon. The one, Siamese twins sila actually. Alright? Sino nakaka-relate dito? Siamese twins yan eh. Yung isa, yung sungay niya pataas, yung isa yung sungay niya pababa. Yung isa, may balbas. Yung isa, wala. But these two would always quarrel, I mean, they don't talk intelligibly, but all you hear would be, tapos sasagot yung isa. In short, they will just quarrel. So at the end of that story, nothing happened. Ganun lang, nothing happened. After all of the exchanges of unintelligible lines, nothing happens between the two of them because the two will always be in opposition. Now, if the church is going to fulfill what God has intended for her to fulfill, the church must be in unity. And I say this not just for Church So Blessed, I say this for the entire body of Christ. If we are to fulfill the mandate of our Lord, which is to go make disciples of all nations, we cannot go around quarreling with one another. Pastor, meron bang hugot yan dito sa CSB? Wala po. I'm just giving a teaching. Alright? No quarrels here, but I would love to see that the entire body of Christ will just love one another. Ang sarap if the two fellows in that one ship will just row, row, row their boat towards one purpose, towards one goal, which is to win the world for Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, Ephesians 4, 3, everybody read, go. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Everybody say, every effort. Alright, let's ask ourselves this individually. Have you exerted every effort necessary so that you can promote peace in the church? Every effort. Kasi pag hindi ka nag-effort, you know what? Nothing's going to happen. We need to reach out to other people. We need to reach out to other denominations even. We need to reach out even to other countries. We were in Jakarta. One of those very powerful moments happened in what they call as a very sensitive time and a very sensitive topic. When the pastor actually suggested, I think I can say this on Facebook Live, when the pastor actually suggested that all of the young people from Indonesia would come to the front and if they can just pray together. Now, I was observing, because I'm not an Indonesian, I'm not an Indonesian youth even. Nagpuntahan sila sa harapan, and then he just said this, I think it's time for us to repent concerning our attitude towards Israel. Just like that, they started to travail and groan and weep before God and said, Lord, forgive us for our attitude towards Israel. It was powerful. It was powerful. I could not relate, of course, because I had nothing negative to think or to say about Israel. But apparently, these young people had something in their hearts that have been planted there when they were still young. And they just started to travail and groan, God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Forgive us for the way we have looked at Israel. Forgive us that we do not have diplomatic relationships with Israel. And I was actually surprised. Because we don't have a problem with that. But they had a problem with that. Why am I telling you this? It is this. If you sense anything negative towards anyone, make every effort so that there will be unity in the body of Christ. Because the way that God designed the church is that it should be a fellowship wherein we fellowship with one another. No discriminations, no prejudices. We just love everyone. Amen? I love the way Jesus established the church, that in Jesus there's no more Jew nor Gentile, no more male nor female, no more master, no more slave. That means everybody is free to love one another in Jesus' name. Amen? Can you turn to the person next to you, tell that person, I love you. Ngayon, mamaya, pagkatapos na yung worship service, hindi na lang yung katabi mo. Alright? Someone else. If you know of someone else who may not be here, who may be from another church, text that person. Let that person know, hey, I love you. Magugulat yun. Lulukso puso nun. Bakit? Ano nangyari? Ano nangyari? Bakit bumait sa akin bigla ito? Sinermonan ako ni pastor. Psalm 133 verse 1. Psalm 133 verse 1. Can we show them that? Oh, hallelujah. Everybody read, go. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Everybody say, together. Verse 2. I want the verse 2. Everyone, it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. See, when there is unity, when we live together in unity, it's like precious oil poured down. You know what precious oil is? That's the anointing of God. And the anointing, there's something about the anointing that it removes any friction. Alam niyo yung oil? I love WD-40. I mean, we have this gate, we have this pedestrian gate sa bahay namin. It does not, the lock does not work anymore. So, alam mo, inihahampas mo yun, eh, bag, para lang sumara, bag. And then, I remembered, sandali, may WD-40 ako. Psst, 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 psst. You know, I don't know much about house repairs, mga ganyan. Kaya yung pinangasawa ko, marunong mag carpintero, marunong mag-electrician, marunong magtubero. Sabi ko, ang papel ko, mahalin ka na lang. Alright? I mean, she does them all. She does them all. Alright? Pero yung mga pagpapalit ng bumbilya, kaya ko na yan. Sobra na yun. Ginaganon lang yun eh. Okay? Ha? Huh? You understand me? That's good. From here on, I preach in Tagalog. Okay. All right. All right. We're not going to keep this for long. Anyways. WD-40. Binomba ko yun eh. You know what? It worked. It worked. And I was so proud of it because that's one of the few things that I can do around the house. Pinagmalaki ko yun. Subukan niyo yung gate. Subukan niyo yung gate. Oh, may napansin ba kayo? May napansin ba kayo? WD-40 ko yan. Something about oil. It removes friction. And it says here that when there is unity in the body, it is like oil being poured down from the beard down. What's the significance of that? Wow, pati yung balbas ni Aaron sikat. No, it's just saying it starts from the head. It starts from the head and then it goes down. And if there is going to be unity in the body, it starts from the head. Which is why I try that as far as my life is concerned, as far as my heart is concerned, I will love people so that it will flow from the head. Because you know what? I can also be the greatest excuse of some people here or some people outside in the body of Christ. Eh, bakit si pastor? Which is why I want to be a living picture of what it means to just love everyone. Starts from the head. Amen? Fellowship. Fellowship is what the church should be. Verse 3. It's not just oil. Everyone, read. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. It is like dew. You know the dew? It refreshes. Oh. And if you need refreshing, it's time that you will just live in unity with everyone. Because you know what? This unity and division, it actually drains you up. Nakakatuyo. Number 2, let's move on. 5 points. I'll finish this. The church is a family. It's number 2. The church is a family. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. All right? It says this. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. I love the way the Living Bible translated this. I looked it up in the Living Bible. It says this. You should be like one big happy family. Everybody say that. One big happy family. Oh, wow. Imagine when we reach 20,000 people and we are still one big happy family. Oh, by the way, I want to inform you, come June 2, we will be celebrating our 20th anniversary! 20 years! And we have more than 100 daughter churches now that's in the Philippines and beyond the Philippines. And come June 2, we will all be celebrating the 20th at the Cuneta Astrodome. Alright? Naka-book na po tayo sa Cuneta Astrodome. All of our churches in Luzon, in the Luzon province, will be arriving at the Cuneta Astrodome. We will be celebrating our anniversary the whole day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Some of our pastors from Visayas, well, I hope all of them will be able to come, Visayas and Mindanao. And then the pastors from the other nations will also be coming. Singapore has confirmed. Italy has confirmed, I think. O kinukomit ko na kayo ngayon, kayong mga nanonood. Jeddah, I think, will be coming. The pastors in the DMV area may be coming. I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Now, imagine this. We are one big, happy family coming together. It's like every Sunday, we have a grand reunion of our family. Ang sarap noon. And that's what the Bible says in describing the church. The church is one big happy family. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. Alright? It says here, everyone read, go. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You have that right there. We are a family of believers, which is why when somebody hurts in the family, we all hurt. When somebody is rejoicing in the family, we all rejoice. Nabalitaan mo na nakapasa si ganito sa science high school, we all rejoice. Nabalitaan natin na si ganyan may sakit, we are all sad and we all pray. We all come to God in prayer for that person. Why? Because we are one family. We are called to carry each other's burdens right here. All right? Now, it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy 5, tingnan ninyo what the implication is when it comes to being a family. It says here, do not rebuke an older man harshly. Which is why I'm so gentle with some... Nawala. Alam niya, babanggitin ko siya. Do not rebuke an older man harshly. Exhort him as if he were your father. That's why I call him Tatang. Treat younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters with absolute purity. See, the picture here is one of family. If only we can look at each other and see each other as part of the family, I think we will be more loving towards each other. Amen? We're all family here. Ngayon, paminsan-minsan sa family, meron ding kakaiba. Like, you know how it's like. Sino sa inyo may perfect family? Kailan man hindi nagkaroon ng conflict? Ay, magugulo pamilya nyo? Sa amin, walang conflict, ever. Mamaya siguro, pagkatapos nito. See, that's because we are family. And we're close to each other. And because we're close to each other, some things happen. But we need to take it in the context of family na tayo magpapatawaran din. Tayo magmamahalan din. Amen? Because we're one family. Merong kumukuha dyan, kanya lagi yung drumstick eh. Tapos ititira sa'yo, puro breast. But that's family. Hoy, nakadalawa ka na. Bakit sa akin? Leeg lang. Ano? Sa akin, parang pakpak yun natira. But that's family. May bigayan. Alright? Take the church in the context of that. It's a family. Here in Church So Blessed, I'm telling you, you will just love everyone. Everyone will just offer to you. Gusto mo pa ng isang drumstick? Punta kang KFC, malapit lang. So, the church is a fellowship. The church is a family. Number three, let's move on. The church is a body. The church is a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Let's look at this. And everybody read, go. Now, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. Sino rito kasama sa each one? Taas ang kamay. Alright? Each one of us. Each one of us. We are a part of the body of Christ. Now, what does it mean for us to be the body of Christ? Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. Alright? I want us to read this. Everyone, go. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So here is where we get the word members. That's why we have membership classes. So that every person will know, hey, you are a member of the body. Dun yung word na yon. You are a member. Which is why when somebody gets, for example, your hand is cut off, it is said that your hand has been dismembered. Nasundan? Good thing your leg was not dismembered. You're still walking around. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Wow! Each member, sino nga uli rito yung member? Taas kamay, you're a member. Okay. Each member belongs to all the others. You don't just belong to yourself, you belong to all the others. So when you say, I won't have anything to do with the church, it's not your call. It's not your call. Why? You belong to all the others. It's not like when the eye says, I don't want to be a member of that body anymore. Hey, eye, it's not your call. You're a part of the whole body. You are needed. Tell the person next to you, you are needed. Alright, andar tayo ha. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We each have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, that shows us something. Because the church is a body, and a body has many members, each member is gifted. Wow! Tell the person next to you, you're gifted! And our giftings are different, people. Different giftings. But that is not to say that just because my gifting is different from yours, that you are not important in the body anymore. We are all important. My eyes cannot boast that it's the most important part of the body, because if my legs will hear that, my legs would declare a boycott. I may be seeing, but I cannot walk. Alright, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 14. Alright? Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Church So Blessed is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know what the eye is saying here? Like if the foot should say, you know what the foot is saying here in verse 15? If the foot should say, because I am not a hand. This is actually the language of inferiority and insecurity. The foot is saying, hey, I'm not a hand. I cannot do what the hand does. And so what does the foot say? I don't belong to the body. That's the language of insecurity. That's the language of inferiority. Are you getting what I'm saying? The foot is comparing itself to the hand. And the foot is saying, I cannot do what the hand is doing. So I cannot be of any importance to the body. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, that's not true. That's not true. So you may be here today and you're saying, I don't have much to offer to the church. I cannot be used by God. That's not true. You are a member of the church and God is telling you right now, you are gifted. Again, tell the person next to you, you're gifted. You have a crucial role to play in the body of Christ. I've told you before, my first ever ministry in the church was not preaching. My first ever ministry in the church was not even to lead a Bible study group. My first ever ministry in the church was, well, it was called, maganda yung tawag. It's called the technical ministry. Alright? But in essence, what I was doing in the technical ministry was, kami yung tagasalangsang ng silya. For do you remember those days? In ACCF, at the Ali Mall, sa Skate Town, yung mga silya noon, hindi pa nai-invento monoblock chairs. Ang uso noon would be the steel-framed chairs na isinasalangsang. And we would stack them up. We would stack them up. After the fellowship is done, we need to stack them up quickly kasi magbubukas na yung Skate Town. Sino rito yung nabutan yung Skate Town, if you can relate? Saan yan, Pastor? May ganun balang araw, malalaman nyo rin yan. Pagdapunta kayo sa langit. But that was my first ministry. The only thing that I could do. The first time that somebody suggested to me, Mau, that's my nickname, Mau, pwede bang magturo ka ng Bible study? I said, I don't know how to teach Bible studies. Sabi ng tao, but I heard that you share the gospel. You share the gospel with people. I do. I share the gospel with people. I do one-on-one. I have never done Bible studies. And the person who was inviting me to teach the Bible study told me this. Well, you know what? Bible study is also like sharing the gospel, only it's not one-on-one. It's one to like 5 people or 1 to 10 people. But it's the same. So by faith, I took that step of faith. All right, I think I can do that. So I taught in that Bible study, mukha namang effective, walang natulog eh. And then after teaching in that Bible study group, I became a regular in teaching Bible study groups. And then somebody requested me, can you be a preacher in the youth fellowship? Wala na, kinakabahan ako, nakakatakot. But I did, I taught in that youth fellowship and I think God moved. Because people were crying in the youth fellowship even as I was preaching. I still remember the first preaching that I've ever done. It's about the life of the Apostle Paul and how he was eventually and ultimately killed as a martyr for the Lord. And I remember that. But I did not start with teaching. I did not start with preaching. I started with stacking up chairs. That was my gifting back then. Up to now, I still do that. Pagka wala akong ginagawa rito, nakita ko si Tuping at gusto ko lang magpalaki ng biceps ko, I help him. I mean, you don't need to go to the gym. You can just be a gifted person and help in stacking up the chairs. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You have a role to play because we are a body. All you need to do is look for an opportunity wherein God can use you. Tell the person next to you, you are gifted. Now, here, if I told you about the foot that is feeling insecure and is saying, the foot says, I'm not a hand. I don't belong to the body. That's insecurity. And I'm telling you right now, there is no room for insecurity in the body of Christ. You have a role to play. Yun lang pag-welcome dyan. Oh, we need more people to start welcoming more people. I mean, there will come a time we will be welcoming thousands here in this place. We're actually thinking of putting up a second floor here, a third floor there, to accommodate the thousands who will come in. Who will welcome them? Limited yung ating ushers. We need ushers in the 2 p.m. We need ushers in the 5 p.m. I mean, you can do that. Sino rito may kamay? Who can shake a hand? Whoa! You're gifted. Are you getting this? Now, on the other hand, if there's the inferior, insecure foot, look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. Alright? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now here is a picture of one who is superior or feeling superior to others. I'm better than you. The eye is saying, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, I'm better than you. Ikaw na. If that is the attitude of someone or some ministry in the church, I'm better than you, and that puts somebody else as inferior, it's not healthy. We just need to find our place, find our niche in the body of Christ, and we will find out we actually are gifted and we can be of benefit to the church. Amen? One of these Sundays, we're going to have to do a ministry fair so that everyone will know that you can actually be of good use to the church. So what's the implication of this? Everyone is needed in the church. Tell the person next to you, you are needed. I am needed. All right? Number four. Who's learning something here? So what's number one? The church is a fellowship. What's the implication of that? The church is a fellowship. The implication is everyone is united. Okay? We're all united here. No room for division. No room for animosity. We're just united. We're not like that two-headed monster in Sesame Street. We're going towards just one direction. Number two, the church is a family. And the implication is everyone is respected. You're part of the family. Number three, the church is a body, and the implication is everyone is needed. We need you. Number four, the church is a flock. The church is a flock. Now, by the way, this would be the favorite description of Jesus for the church, that the church is a flock. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then jump to verse 27. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So here's Jesus, he's saying, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. And the sheep, in return, they follow Jesus. They listen to his voice. The church is a flock, which is to say that the church is led by shepherds. Now that is very crucial. The church is cared for and led by shepherds. Pastors are called by God to shepherd. I love that the Tagalog word for shepherd is pastol. And that's precisely what we are. Ang nagsalita nga lang hapon, ano ka ba? Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. At least nag-gets nyo. Nakornihan kayo, pero nag-gets nyo. But that's what the church is. We are a flock. And God, in His wisdom, He says, all right, now, because you're a flock, you know, some of the dumbest, creatures in the animal world would be the sheep. That's what they say. I cannot say that with authority because I have not really taken care of one. Hindi uso ang tupa dito sa Pilipinas. When I was still taking up pre-vet in UP Diliman, may mga sheep doon eh. Puro malnourished. Tapos ang papangit ng mga they don't call it fur, fleece, no? Ang pangit ng fleece, mga gusgusin, parang hindi naalagaan. Actually, pangkantsaw yan. Naturing ang mga vet, hindi marunong alagaan yung mga tupang yan. They're not really ours, I think. Must be somebody else's. But the way that sheep have been described is that they're not really the most intelligent of animals. They don't have a good sense of direction. They can get lost very easily. I think John can tell us a bit more about sheep, but not today. Because in Australia and in New Zealand, sheep outnumber people. Yeah, and the ratio is huge. Diba? Sobra na dami. Pwede silang magdala rito ng lamb chop. But that's the way Jesus describes the church. The church is a flock. And the flock are in desperate need of shepherds. Which is why the shepherds need to have the heart of the good shepherd. Because if the shepherd will not have the heart of the good shepherd, the shepherd can actually take advantage of the sheep. That's why Jesus was telling us about the hireling. And He was warning about the hireling. What's the difference between the shepherd and the hireling? The shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Wow! That's something else. While the hireling, in the presence of danger, he says, ayoko na, takbo na ako. Look at what Jesus told Peter. John chapter 21, verse 16, verse 17. Okay? John chapter 21, verse 16, verse 17. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Verse 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know what I see here? Jesus is actually telling me, as a pastor, hey, if you truly love me, you will feed my people. And shepherds, pastors need to understand this, that the ministry of taking care of sheep actually flows from our love for Jesus. If we're not in love with Jesus, don't take care of the flock. Nakukuha nyo? Nauna yung tanong eh, hey Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. All right, if you truly love me, you feed my sheep, you feed my flock. We cannot truly feed the people of God if we are not in love with Jesus. Otherwise, it will just be a job. It will be a profession. But if it is something that overflows from our relationship with the Lord, Lord, I love you. And then the Lord tells, all right, out of the overflow of your love for me, can you take care of my flock? And that is what I'm called to do. That is what pastors are called to do. We're to take care of the flock. Now, look at this. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 29. All right? Acts 20, 28 to 29. Keep watch. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the elders of the churches that he planted. Sadali, Pastor, sino kausap ni Paul? The elders. Now, I want to make something clear here. The terms elder, everybody say elder, pastor, bishop, they're all synonymous. All right? They're all synonymous. It's not like one is different from the other. It is just now that there has been an evolution in the terms that the terms have become ranks in the body of Christ. But if we will be strict about it, the elder is the pastor, is the bishop. Where? Yeah. Which is why some people call me bishop. Talagang ayaw bumenta ngayon yun? You're being harsh. This is not family. Salamat kay. I'll show you one verse, all right? I'll show you one verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So you will understand this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. All right. Everybody read, go. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Look at this, huh? Let's start in verse 1. All right? In verse 1, it says, to the elders among you. Everybody say, elders. So who is the Apostle Peter talking to? He's talking to elders. Now, let's move to verse 2. To the elders among you. Verse 2, be what? Shepherds. What's that term, shepherds? That's the pastor. To the elders, be pastors of God's flock that is under your care, serving as what? Overseers. The Greek term for that is episkopos, where we get the term episcopal, like episcopalian church. Why is it called an episcopalian church? Because it is headed by a bishop. So here, the Apostle Peter is telling us, hey, elders, I want you to be pastors acting as overseers. But iba-iba pa, because the three words, although they refer to the same person, they're talking about different job descriptions. Nasusundan niyo pa rin ako? Alright. As elders, what is required of us? Pastors, ito, pakinggan natin. As elders, what is required of us? It is required of us to be spiritually mature. That's why we are elders, not olders. Elders. We're supposed to be spiritually mature, which is why we need to keep our relationship with God on fire. We need to keep ourselves versed in the scriptures. We need to keep ourselves in a good prayer habit. We need to be spiritually mature. Growing not just in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but growing in the fruit of the Spirit as well. All right, that's for the elders. What about the pastors? That speaks of our relationship with the flock, that we are to take care of the flock. You cannot be a pastor and not be taking care of a flock. Gets natin? There are some people who may carry the title pastor, but if that person is not taking care of a flock, that's not pastoring. Now, you have the elder, you have the pastor, you have the overseer, that's the bishop. So what is the job description? To oversee. This is administrative. So the bishop has to do with overseeing people, overseeing even pastors under him. Now that is the present definition of that. If you're a bishop, you're supposed to be overseeing even pastors under you. Gets natin? All right. So these three, they're synonymous. So, for example, si Pastor Fini, eventually, he will be taking care of more people, possibly even more pastors, under him. So, in overseeing, he can be a bishop. I don't necessarily have to call him bishop. Sa totoo lang po, ayoko na nga magpatawag ng gano'n na, may bishop ba dito? Meron tayong mga cardinal. Huwag naman. Ang totoo po, I tell our pastors this, that we must never be title conscious. And I don't like it when people are title conscious. I don't want it ever said of a CSB pastor that you ever said this line, Pastor ako. Because that speaks of entitlement. I don't want that mindset. Pastors are called to serve the flock. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does the shepherd do? He brings the flock to the green pastures. He brings the flock to the still waters. He's the one who serves the flock. It's not the other way around. Hey, I'm a pastor, serve me. That's not how it goes. Nasusundan natin? All right. So, the church is a flock. Now, just some points that I want to highlight concerning the church being a flock. Number one, it is not the flock leading the shepherd. All right? Ano ibig sabihin nun? I have seen churches wherein it is the flock that dictates what happens to the church or what direction the church should take and eventually tells the pastor, hey pastor, this is the direction of the church. Have you ever seen or can you even imagine some sheep approaching a pastor and then telling the pastor, ba, dun tayo. It never happens. The shepherd is the one who determines where the green pastures are and where the still waters will be. This is where we go. That's how it goes. Alright? So, it is not the flock leading the shepherd. The shepherd is not an employee of the flock. Now, again, this is just teaching. Wala akong hugot dito. I love church so blessed. I love this church family. When we started this church, I believe that we started on the right footing with the right foundations. But what I'm giving you right now is teaching. And I've seen this happen. That there are some churches wherein pastors get dishonored. Because they're looked down to as employees. Hey, pastor, this is what you do. We're paying you to do this. Sheep cannot say that. Ba. That's all you say. Ba. And the shepherd, if he has the heart of Jesus as the good shepherd, guess what? The sheep should not have a hard time submitting to such a shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The only problem would be if you see that the shepherd is not really a shepherd after God's own heart, but if you see that the shepherd is not a shepherd, but is more of a hireling. That is where the problem comes in. But if you sense that the shepherd that you have is one who knows how to take care of you, who knows how to feed you, and who knows how to protect you, then that shepherd, the Bible says, is even worthy of double honor. I've never used that verse, actually, in my entire ministry life. Sabi ko sa inyo, 2019 is my 30th year in the ministry. Yeah! I started in the ministry when I was 5. But yun, violent ang reaction. Kanina naman, nakukornihan. You know, there's something wrong with you today. I'll read this to you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Alright? Alright. Can everybody please read this? Ready? Go. The elders... Wait, stop. Who are the elders? The pastors. Alright, let's move on. The elders... Whoa! That's my work! That's my work! Those whose work is preaching, that's me!
Whoa!
Worthy of double honor. But this is too self-serving naman. But natin binasa yan. Ami, can you show them the Passion Translation? This is even better. Alright? Did I give you? No. Did you type it? No? Alright, I'll just read it to you, okay? Mamaya, hinahabol yan ni Ami. I mean, she writes with 100 words per second, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, the Passion Translation. This is not the Hiram Pangilinan Translation. This is the Passion Translation. The most loved translation right now of those churches that are just so in love with Jesus. Okay? And this is what it says. Nahabol mo, Ami? Okay. Hindi kita on the spot. This is what it says. The pastors who lead the church well, ayokong ituloy, masyado to self-serving. I'll just wait for Ami. I'll have you read it. Okay? Hay nako. Ami, you're done? Lahat nakatingin na sa'yo eh. Oh. Okay. Everybody read. This is from the Passion Translation. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Ready, go! Goodness! That's in the Bible? Ang totoo po yan, I heard this from Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar. He says that the elders who do the work of preaching and teaching are worthy of double honor. He says that the word honor right there is better rendered as double honorarium. Seriously, the word for honor is synonymous with cost, synonymous with money, synonymous with pay. I've never preached on this. I'm just teaching you today. All right. Now, just to balance the picture. Okay? Just to balance the picture. It is not the flock leading the shepherd. It's the shepherd leading the flock. Number two, it is not the shepherd abusing the flock. To balance the picture. Because there can be a tendency for shepherds to actually use their position to be able to abuse the flock. And there is a verse for it, Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel 34, verse 1, and let's read this, okay? The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? Now that is a judgment on the shepherds of Israel back then. And God is saying, hey, shepherds, you have got the wrong heart for the ministry. And it is something that we need to put in our hearts, in our minds, that God has actually called us not to take care of ourselves, but to take care of the flock. The heart of Jesus, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen? Finally, number five. Ooh, I finished it. What's number one? The church is a fellowship. Number two, church is a family. Number three, church is a body. Number four, it's a flock. Number five, the church is a bride. We're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So here's the Apostle Paul. He gives a discourse on the relationship of the husband and the wife. He's saying, hey, husbands. Sino husbands dito? Taas kamay, husbands. Sisermonan ko muna kayo. Tayo. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. All right? Wives, submit to your husbands. Sino wives dito? Wives. Nangangarap pa maging wives? Okay. We are in agreement with you. Hey, hey, if I can do what Chris Vallotton is doing right now, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Pastor, ano bang ginagawa ni Chris Vallotton? Chris Vallotton, for those of you who may not know, he's the co-founder of the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries, the senior associate leader of Bethel Church, next to Bill Johnson. As far as authority over Bethel is concerned, this is what Chris Vallotton does. Like, they have 1,200 freshman students in the BSSM, and he has all 1,200 stand up. And when they stand up, he tells the people, all right, I want you to hold hands together, everyone. Hold hands together, everyone. So hold hands together, everyone. And if you like the person next to you, and you feel like that person is supposed to be your partner for life, I want you to just squeeze the hand of that person a bit tighter. That works for them, does not work here. You know, Filipino culture goes this way. Back then, yung mga palabas nila Rogelio de la Rosa. At ni, sino ka partner? Carmen Rosales. Yun ba yun, Ate Laila? Well, I need to ask an authority here. But back then, you know how it works. Hinawakan mong daliri ng anak ko, pananagutan mo yan. John, you want me to translate? For the internationals here, and for those watching in Facebook Live, watching all over the world. You touch the hem of my garment. You touch the pinky. I mean, you just touch the hand of the woman, and that is actually chancing. Hey, millennials, do you know chancing? Comes from the root word chance. So now you're laughing, huh? I'm serious. Chancing, because you grabbed the chance. You took advantage of the opportunity. You touch the hand of the lady, you will be held responsible for that, because my daughter lost her virginity. You touched the hand. I'm serious. Anyways, ba't ako umabot doon? I'm telling of those who are husbands, and who probably one day, if you find the boldness to take that step of faith, to propose, then you will be a husband. Nowadays, we're losing that. Men! Be men! Anong gusto nyo? Sila manligaw sa inyo? Nagsasalubong ang kilay ko. You know, I love what Chris Ballatin actually said. Listen up. Hey, listen up. Chris Ballatin said this. What's going on in the United States right now is that they're actually pressing for abortion, not just on demand. Dati pa yun eh. Abortion on demand has been going on in the United States for so many years now. But what they're trying to press right now is that there can be abortion even at the time of labor. Even when the baby is in the 9th month, ready to be delivered, even when the mother is already dilating, which is to say that the cervix is opening up. Papalabas na yung cute na baby na kamukha ni Barbie o ng cabbage patch. Papalabas na! And then the mom decides, with the doctor, I want that baby aborted. They can still kill the baby. It's ugly. But you know what Chris Ballatin had to say? We cannot really pin the blame on the moms alone. Because it is not just the fault of the mothers, it is the fault of men who impregnate them and who cannot be good fathers to the children. It is not so much just the sin of motherless or women who don't have the hearts of mothers, it is also the sin of men who cannot be good fathers. And because the women are left abandoned, like, I cannot take care of this baby alone. Had the father been there and taking responsibility, I will be one with you in taking care of that baby. There will be more babies who will not be aborted. I agree. It is the sin of fatherlessness that's going on. So anyways, I say this because husbands and wives, we have our roles to play. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. There are some wives who have a hard time submitting to their husbands. Hindi po ako galit. At wala akong pinaghuhugutan. Wala. My wife, she knows how to submit. Submit your test papers. Finish or not finish. She knows how to submit. No problem with that. But what I'm addressing here right now is that issue of submission. Because you know what? If there is no submission coming from the wife, then there will be two heads inside the home. That cannot be. Because if there are two heads inside the home, then there will always be conflict as far as decision making is concerned. Understand this. There should be no problem with submission if the husband knows how to love his wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If the wife can see that and can sense that from the husband, my husband loves me so much, he's taking care of me. My husband loves me so much, he's protecting me. My husband loves me so much, he is willing to lay down his life for me. I don't think there should be any problem with the wife submitting to such a husband. Now, having said that, the church is a bride. We are called to submit to our husband. That's Jesus Christ. And in submitting to him, Jesus continues to pamper us with so much of his love. And that is what the church is all about. Which is why I love the worship part. I love the singing part. I love it when we sing to him because that's the time when we can actually tell Jesus, oh Jesus, we are so in love with you. Music is said to be a universal language. It can be our expression to Jesus and just tell him, oh God, you are just the best. You are just the best. Which is why we should actually cherish the worship time, the singing part. Because that's the time when we can be a bride adoring our beautiful bridegroom, Jesus Christ. A verse for that Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Have you, sino rito napunta na sa isang kasal? Really? Yung iba hindi pa naimbitahan? Oh, wow. Maski yung kasalan ng bayan, you know how it works. Like there's the entourage. Pasok na si pastor. Pasok na si groom. Pasok na si principal sponsors. Pasok na si secondary sponsors. Pasok na lahat. I've been to weddings. Ang ninong, 20 pares. And of course, everybody's excited. But the main person in that entourage that everybody's just looking forward to see would be the bride. Everybody's so excited to see the bride to such an extent that when it's the bride's turn to march, everybody stands up for the entrance of the bride. I'm so looking forward to seeing this event happen, unfold, when Jesus will actually take us, His bride, to be with Him forever and ever. Amen. Until that happens, nandun pa tayo sa part wherein, oh God, Maranatha, the Spirit and the bride say, come, we want to see you, our beautiful bridegroom. Amen. That is what the church is all about.